up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 139, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, helps the podcast keep on going. With me today is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Oh, not much, Bob. How you doing? Sounds like you're a little under the weather over there.
Yeah, it's a little cold. It's like, I don't know. I usually don't get cold. It's in the summer, but got one. So, but you know, it is like, well, I guess it's not fully summer. I mean, it might be, but we can't complain about the weather. You know, we're always talking about the weather when we start this podcast, and it's been good. It's been nice. So I can't complain. So, but, this is a big week. It is Computex week. It officially started today. What is June 5th? Yep. So lots of stuff to go along with that. There's so much news. We obviously can't cover all of it because this podcast would be 5 hours long. Yeah. But we'll start off with our reviews and other stuff we did, and then we'll get into all of the Computex stuff. But our first review this week is actually a product that was launched at Computex that I've had for about a week and a half, and I built a system in it, and it is the Corsair Crystal Series 280X RGB case, and this is part of their Crystal Series. And if you remember, Corsair launched their Crystal Series with the 570X at the end of 2016, and that was, you know, their first kind of like almost all tempered glass case, super flashy. Out of all the Corsair series of cases, the Crystal Series is like the flashy kind of, let's put a ton of RGBs in this and all that. So with this is a micro ATX case. And I really think that we're going to see sort of a resurgence of micro ATX just for the fact that, you know, with NVIDIA, you can't do more than two graphics cards. And micro ATX has kind of everything that you want. It has the full chipset, you know, and you have all the features on the board. So this case, it's really, really cool. It's one of those dual chamber cases. So you have, on one side, you have your motherboard, graphics card, and all of that. And then the other side, you have your storage and your power supply. So it allows you to really show off that main side and keep all the cables and all your storage and everything like that on the other side. And I have to say, I really like this case. Three tempered glass side panels. So you have your main side panel, you have one on the front, and you have one on the top. They look awesome. And they're easily removable. They're one of the better implementations of tempered glass panels that I've seen too. The front one is completely affixed to the front of the case. So if you're looking at the case from the front, you don't see any of the thumb screws to take that panel off. The entire front of the case actually comes off, which is nice. So I like that. And the top one, unlike most of them, it sits off of the case a little bit, so you do get the top ventilation. Same as the front, it sits off too, because we've seen so many of these tempered glass cases where like the panels sit directly on the chassis itself, so you have no cooling really. With this, you don't have that. So they've really thought that out. And, you know, with the top of the case too, you can just take the tempered glass panel off by itself, or you can take the entire top of the case off, which is nice. But as far as like specs of this case, it is micro ATX. As I said, you can do a bunch of different fan configurations. The top and the front both support up to 280 millimeter radiators. So if you want to do water cooling, you can definitely get that in there. The back section of the case, as I said, is for your storage and your power supply. You have a hard drive cage that supports 3 2.5-inch drives, so 3 SSDs there. And then you have a larger cage that supports both 2.5-inch and 3.5-inch drives. And what's cool is that you can like swap them out on the rear of the case. So there's actually just like a thumb screw that opens a door, and you can swap those drives out pretty easily. Kind of like a hot swap design. And one thing that's really cool is that both of those cages are completely removable from the back, so you don't have to have them there if you don't want to. And, you know, one thing I like is that they didn't go with the fourth tempered glass side panel on the back.
Yeah.
I've reviewed cases that are all tempered glass, and just that back, it just makes it so hard to clean up your cables. And, you know, with the back side of your case, it's just so hard to keep cables clean.
If you can do it, it's a work of art. If you can't, it's just a giant cluster. I agree with you. I think that fourth panel is basically, it's just a waste.
Yeah, and that fourth panel obviously drives the price up of the case as well. And with the back side of this case being made for storage, you have like two hard drive cages in there. It just doesn't, I don't think it's gonna look that great if you have a panel back there.
No.
And this is the RGB version of the case. So it comes with two of Corsair's LL120 fans. These are their brand new RGB fans, and it comes with a controller as well. And these feature 16 individually controllable RGB LEDs, and the controller allows you to hook it up to their brand new IQ software, which is really awesome. I got some time to play with it before it was officially announced at Computex, and this software is awesome. I mean, you can literally pick which LED in the fan you want to change, and you can change it to a different color. You can, you know, have each LED do whatever you want. It's really, really cool.
Yeah,
and the controller that they give you supports up to 6 fans, so you can completely outfit this with the LL fans if you want, and you won't have to buy like a separate controller or something like that. It will all be hooked up the way you want it, so it's pretty cool there. Installation was easy, no issues there. It's just a good case. Like, I really think that Corsair, you know, made this look good, but they also made it very functional, very easy to work in. You know, had no problem installing a 240mm radiator in the top of the case with our build. Both the 3.5-inch and 2.5-inch hard drive trays are completely toolless, so you don't have any, you know, you don't need a screwdriver for that. The locking system for your expansion cards is also toolless, and it's actually a good one. I've worked with some of the ones in the past that are kind of crappy. Mm-hmm. That works pretty well too. So really no real issues with this case. It's one of the best cases I've had the chance to really review and take a look at. Nice. So it's $109.99 for the non-RGB, and that comes with just two regular fans. And then the RGB one is $159.99. So
pretty big step up there to the RGB. And that's the only thing that changes is the fans.
Yeah, the fans themselves are $34.99 a piece.
Yeah.
That's without a controller.
Right.
I believe the 3-fan kit with the controller is $119 by itself. So it's you're pretty much getting some value by buying the RGB one, because you get two fans, which would be, what if I'm doing my, I can't do math. But it'd be at least $60 in fans without the controller, so.
Yeah, yeah. That's obviously not their cost. It just seems like a pretty big jump up in price, but maybe it's worth it to you.
Yeah, if you're gonna go the individually lit RGB mm-hmm. route, then that would be the way to go, because you do get the controller in there. Which it would save you money by buying the case normally and then adding the fans later.
Yeah, the only downside being that it kind of forces you into buying Corsair fans pretty much exclusively.
Yes.
So you have to, I mean, you kind of have to get those same fans or you're not going to get the same look. So.
Yeah, exactly. So if you wanted to maybe think about it, you can go for the 280X. Mm-hmm. And then if you definitely want to go the Corsair route with the RGBs, you get the 280X RGB. But again, just the case itself designed, it looks beautiful. It's designed amazingly. It's very functional too. So I really like
it. The 109 price tag is really good. It's just the RGB thing, really, it throws off case pricing so much, and it makes it really difficult to kind of like judge value.
And now we're moving to, you know, we've had like basic RGB fans. Even Corsair has like their basic RGB fans. Yeah. And now we're moving into, you know, the individually addressable RGB fans, which again, these are $34.99 a piece.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're adding them to your, you know, you put two in here. Yeah. It's, you
yeah.
know,
and then it's
the $50 and difference.
It's tricky though, because it's like, well, what is the value of those fans? You know, like regardless of what yeah. they price them at, what is the value of the individual addressable fan? Is it really worth it? So that just yeah. leads to a lot more questions, but yeah. So it kind of yeah. complicates so, things a little, but I think that it looks like a fantastic case, especially at that 109 yeah. mark. And if you are like committed to Corsair RGB fans, I mean, you do get a discount going with the RGB version.
Yeah, and like I said, I haven't messed with. I know Cooler Master has individually lit, individually addressable RGB fans now, and software. So I haven't had a chance to mess with their software, yeah. but the Corsair IQ software is yeah, it awesome. Looks
fairly
Yeah, it's very well done. Corsair has done a great job there. And, I mean, I know that doesn't make a huge difference, but if you do have Corsair, other Corsair products that support IQ, then you can match all of your RGBs the same, you know, to do yeah. the same thing. So.
And, of course,
that's what.
Are we getting to it in the news later? Yeah, we'll talk about it later in the news.
Yeah, yeah, we'll talk about it
later. There's a lot to talk about on IQ.
Yes, yes, for sure. So. That is our first review, and then our second review is also a RGB product, but it is Ballistics brand new, which is Crucial Ballistic, but they're going by Ballistics now, like most of these kind of gaming spinoffs mm-hmm. from memory companies. It is their Tactical Tracer RGB kit. We reviewed the DDR4 2666 32 gigabyte memory kit, and I have to say, these look amazing. Mm-hmm. First off, Ballistics Tactical Tracer was actually one of the first memory kits that I ever reviewed with LEDs on them. We reviewed them way back in, I think, 2012 was one of the first kits that we took a look at with that. And this implementation is great. The memory itself, without even the RGB stuff, just the heat spreader is like a dual heat spreader design with... gunmetal and then green under it, black PCB. It looks sexy, and these look awesome. Yeah. And then of course you have the RGB elements, which looks great on these. The diffusion of the RGB LEDs is really good. There's no like empty spots at all on this. You know, yeah. it looks like a single light bar, which is good. The software is actually really good. So it's their mod software. And it allows you to change the LEDs. There's total of 16 RGB LEDs with 8 different zones, and you can individually control each zone. So you can control 2 RGB LEDs at a time throughout each module. Mm-hmm. And you can do a ton of different things. I have a ton of pictures up there that you guys can see of some of the different things that you can do with this. Really great, great performance, good overclocking as well. I was able to get these up to 3200 megahertz with just a slight voltage bump, same timings and everything like that. So you can really, you know, kind of push these up there. And the only real issue that I did have, and it was really interesting, and I let Ballistics know about this as well as NZXT, is that the test system that we use uses an NZXT Kraken X52 cooler. And of course, I have NZXT Cam installed to run that cooler, you know.
Yeah, so
in any
you go ahead.
Anytime I would open NZXT Cam, the mod software would freeze and the LEDs on the memory would freeze. They wouldn't keep on doing whatever I set them to do. It was really, I thought the software was just bad at first. But then I installed it on another system that had an air cooler. No NZXT cam, and I found out that it was cam. Every time I would open cam, it would just freeze.
Now, within that mod software, there is... Can you actually change the timings, or is it just listening timings?
No, it's okay, listening timings.
So this isn't going to actually affect your memory as far as functionality.
Okay. Correct. It will not, but it will affect your... Okay. Yeah, so I sent emails to both Ballistics. We're going to be doing some testing later this week. And I also let NZXT know because, you know, this is some really great looking memory and a lot of people use NZXT Cam, yeah. Just in general, as a piece of software. So you would want the full functionality of this memory and be able to use NZXT Cam and vice versa.
Yeah. Especially being LED, you're going to want to be able to sync your entire system as far as the LEDs go.
Yeah.
Did you by chance have IQ running on that system?
What's IQ?
Corsair.
Oh, no. No, didn't have Corsair IQ, didn't have anything else.
I'm just curious
running.
If it's specific to CAM or if it's any one of these LED management softwares that's trying to take over maybe and shut
yeah,
down.
So I wasn't specifically sure, but just the, you know, my quick testing, anytime CAM was open, it just completely stopped working. The LEDs completely just froze where they were. So there was obviously some type of fault in the communication of the software saying, nope, like you're done.
Yeah, some sort of driver takeover crash, something maybe.
Yeah, something like that. And the software would just freeze. Like you couldn't do anything in the software. So something like that. But all in all, I really think this is some great memory. I think we're getting to, we saw like the first generation of, you know, RGB DDR4. And now we're getting into like the second generation where it's done so well. We have good software. It looks amazing. You know what I mean? So this is a really great kit. And what's really cool is that the light bar you can remove, like the diffuser, and you can 3D print your own. So you can, they give you the files to 3D print, so you can make a logo up or, you know,
do whatever you want to do.
You can kind of do whatever.
Like fin design, or you can do anything with that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. So they give you the 3D files to do that if you have a 3D printer.
So then the strip really cool remains fit. In the top of the memory then, and the light bar just comes off?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, yeah, really cool kit. And then our final review is the Thermaltake TT Premium X1 Gaming Keyboard. This is supposed to be their premium line gaming mechanical key switch keyboard, full-size keyboard, and it does have Cherry MX blue or silver switches. Our one that Ryan did had the silver switches, which is like a speed switch. It's supposed to be super fast. He was not a fan of them. I have not used the silver switches. I don't know if you have.
He said
they're supposed to be fast. Like the actuation time is much lower than your normal Cherry MX switch.
Like low resistance then as well?
So he had an issue with that where he would like rest his fingers on the keys and accidentally press keys.
That's quite sensitive.
Yeah, so it's very sensitive. I haven't had a chance to test these, so I can't tell you.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what these are like. You guys can obviously read Ryan's review on. And he wasn't a fan. He's like an MX Brown guy.
Which I think would put him close to that actually.
Yeah, it's close, but he said these are
too tight.
Yeah, he was accidentally pressing keys a lot. Besides that, I mean, you can get it in Cherry MX Blue as well, which I'm a fan of, a huge fan of. And this is full RGB keyboard. You do get software, and it looks like the Thermaltake software was pretty good compared to their previous software that I've used in the past. It seems like, you know, there's more there, and it's more thought out, which I think a lot of companies are doing. The only thing that he was a little bit, he just felt that this keyboard wasn't super premium, you know.
I'm looking at the final photo that he has, and it looks like a cheaper almost office keyboard when it's not lit up.
Yeah, and when it's $135, mm-hmm. Which isn't horrible for true Cherry MX and RGB backlighting. So, when we talk about premium keyboards, we're really talking about. It just doesn't look like a premium keyboard. He said it didn't really feel as much like a premium keyboard. A lot of the premium keyboards, while they may have a plastic outer shell, they have a steel top case or chassis. Whatever you want to call it, like a steel plate inside to give it. And this one does not.
So this is just plastic.
So that's the kind of downside that he said. I think being all plastic, even the wrist rest is all plastic, which seems weird to me. Mm. Wrist rests have like a, they usually have a coating on them or something like that in my experience with gaming keyboards. So definitely check out Ryan's review if you're interested in that keyboard. It does look almost identical to a Corsair keyboard. We'll just say that.
Minus the premium materials.
Yeah. So, but yeah, definitely check it out. It's worth taking a look at. And I'm really glad they've worked on their software. And he wasn't able to test it because it doesn't have an iPhone, but the Thermaltake does have a mobile app that allows you to reprogram the keyboard with your phone. And use your phone as like a game controller, which is cool, but it's not exactly needed for a key. I don't think any of that's needed for a keyboard. So
no, and I find it interesting when companies launch with an Apple only product to start, simply because more of the market is using Android. I do understand that Apple is an easier operating system to develop in because it's consistent. It's more consistent, but. I do find it.
Yeah, I think in general, if you're a company, you need to launch your on both. Yeah, you need to launch on both platforms to give users the ability to fully use the product. You know what I mean? So yeah. So check that out. It looks good. The RGBs look good on it from the pictures and everything. So, but yeah. And that brings us to CaseMod Friday, and we have a really awesome build this week. It is the Lianli PC011 ROG edition, and this is by a new builder. I'm not going to try to say his name. He's out of Thailand, which we've seen a lot of awesome builds out of Thailand lately.
That one is it's a very impressive name.
Yeah. The PC modding scene there seems to be pretty big, and the Lianli, the PC 011 just came out recently.
Is this the case we saw at CES? I feel like it is.
I might have been, but I'm not 100% sure. I get back. But this is ROG styled. So you have a Rampage board in there with two of the ROG Poseidon GTX 1080 Ti's, which look awesome.
So cool.
Yeah. Which those are the hybrid cards. That you can connect to your loop, and which he has. And he has three of the hexagonal Bits Power Reses. Those are Reses, right?
I can't believe we haven't seen this yet. It's so, once you see it in this build, it's like, well, duh, that's exactly what you do with those. He's got them stacked, like one leading right into the other. It's just aesthetics.
Yeah.
But it's so cool looking.
And I think we're going to see a lot of stuff like that just for the fact that a lot of these cases now we don't have front drive bays
anymore. Yeah.
And there's a lot of space, and it's made for, you know, push pull setups and things like that. But if, you know, he's doing his setup with the radiators at the bottom and the top of this case, so you have that extra space now. And it just looks
This Lianli case it's a dual chambered case, similar to the one that Bob reviewed earlier. And that means that it's got tempered glass on just the front left half, which is actually the same as the Corsair, isn't it? But yes. So that allows like this amazing effect of this glass panel like right in front of these reservoirs, and it just looks so good.
Yeah, it looks really well, and he has the full. He has that super awesome mono block this board, the EK block on there. He has Corsair RGB memory. The two Poseidon cards have that like infinity RGB mirror thing on them.
By the power.
And there's all of the reservoirs are lit up as well. And I believe the fans are LED or RGB fans too, possibly.
I actually think that they're just.
Yeah.
Are they just standard Corsair fans?
I think, and there might be like, I don't know.
They might be EK. Nope, they're Corsair fans.
They're Corsair fans.
Oh, they look clear though. The blades look clear in the one photo. But they definitely wait.
No, they're definitely lit up. Okay. They're lit up, but they're not like the newer ones. There's just four. It looks like there's four LEDs in the inside of the bearing there. So.
They're just super dim.
Yeah, I like that look though. It's not overdone.
Yeah, they just don't quite keep up. Like the LEDs that he's got in those reservoirs are like phenomenally bright. They really, really stand out. So it kind of makes everything else look a little more subdued.
Yeah. But just sick build.
Nothing super modern about it, though, which is interesting.
Yeah. You know, I mean, besides the water cooling, not a whole lot of modding. It's just a good build. I mean, it's beside, you know, in the placement of the reservoirs there, just a solid build.
It kind of just shows off like how well designed the case is, really.
And that's why I talked about this dual chamber design, because you don't have a power supply kind of making things ugly. Yeah. You don't have the bottom section of the case kind of cut, you know?
Yeah, so it's not separated in that way.
Yeah, so I like that design. It allows you to really show off your hardware, so I'm a fan of that.
It's a clean look, and it hides all of the garbage in the bag, all the business in the bag.
Exactly. Yeah, that's because I don't like doing cable management, so...
I think if this is the case, I think it is, that we saw, it also has the solid state drive, or it has drive, like the removable hot swap bays in the back too, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This was a sweet case, actually. I was looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, I'm a fan of this case. So there's a couple other builds that I've seen already, some mods in this case, because it just came out. So really cool stuff. Definitely check this one out. And as I always say, we have a full section of case mods that we feature on Case Mod Friday, going back at least 3 or 4 years. So definitely check all of that out. Really cool stuff there. And then we're going to come to Computex, which is basically Computex is the show for PC hardware. It's more PC hardware focused than even CES. CES is more consumer electronics. We get some hardware announcements, but typically Computex is where we see, you know, hardware specific announcements, a lot of cool stuff coming out. So the first thing is that we heard rumors of it for the past few weeks, but Intel did officially announce their Core i7-8086K, which is a limited edition processor that celebrates 40 years of the x86 architecture. And this is a 6-core, 12-thread part that is based on the same 14-nanometer Coffee Lake silicon. So same thing as the 8700K, except for its clocked higher. So it has a base clock of 4.0 gigahertz and boosts all the way up to 5 gigahertz, making it the first out-of-the-box 5 gigahertz processor from Intel.
This is one of the bigger surprises to me from Computex. Like, it's not a surprise because we heard rumors, but it is a surprise because I didn't think they were true. I thought this was gonna just end up being one of those fake things, because like the photos they had of it were so
I agree.
Bad. They looked so photoshopped. So I think this is a really cool part. It's just basically a souped up 8700K.
Yeah, it's a souped up 8700K. I read this somewhere, but I couldn't confirm it, so I didn't put in the article. But somebody said they're only making 50,000 of them. Which is a lot. It's not like super limited edition, obviously.
It's like other anniversary editions.
Yeah, so pretty cool. It will be available starting June 8th. No word on pricing, but expected MSRP is $486.
Friday. Yes. $486 is kind of a lot, but it's a cool part.
Well, I mean, if you think $486 for the, you know, the old 486 processor. Pretty cool. But also, more on my excitement, because this thing is a beast, is the also at the same press conference, Intel showed off a 28-core, 56-thread, 5 gigahertz Core X CPU. This thing's a beast. No word on what this is. It's going to be part of their next generation high-end desktop line. It's not going to be a LGA 2066 part. It's going to be something more than that.
Much bigger socket.
Yeah, much bigger socket. But, you know, compared to the Core i9-7980XE, which we reviewed, it is an 18-core, 36-thread part. This new processor has 10 more cores and super high clocks. I believe the 7980XE runs at 3.6 gigahertz, and this thing runs at 5.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane. Do we have any idea if that's single core, or is that like that's what the processor runs at? Every core.
We don't know yet. I can't assume it does, and if it does, you need to be water.
Yeah, that's so much heat.
The demo system they had was water cooled. Yeah. Just putting that out there.
Well, I would expect that considering it's so early, but it's got. I mean, those got to be ESs that they're running. So.
Yeah, and they ran it through Cinebench R15, which is of course a benchmark we use in our processor reviews. It scored 7,334. The Core i9-7980XE, again, 18-core, 36-thread part, in our testing, scored 3,391. And then the 8700K, also in our testing, scored 1,434. So you can see the massive difference.
More than four times faster than the 8700K.
That's yes. Yeah.
So the real thing, though, is this is a massive part. The, you know, this 7980XE is it's $2,000. What is the part that has more than double the performance going to cost?
$4,000. It's gonna, you know, who knows the pricing. Intel didn't say pricing. They said it will be expected to launch in Q4 of this year, which is cool. So the thing that I'm more excited about is we will see a new, probably a new socket and a new chipset for this.
Do you think this is a limited socket type of run, like where there's just like a couple of chips that are ever going to come out for it?
I don't know, because you know, I mean, you saw what Intel did with high-end desktop last year, where we had parts that were stupid that nobody wanted. You know, and then you had like the initial flagship, which was the 10 core, and then we went all the way up to 18 cores,
but all on the same socket.
Yeah, all in the same socket.
And all basically in the same package size. So this thing, there's no way that this part is as small as current high-end desktop parts.
No, I can't imagine. I think it's just like going to be, so there'll be like high-end desktop, and then there'll be like high-end desktop E, like extreme, you know?
Yeah, like, it'll be like,
there'll be a whole
like
another
super prosumer.
Yeah, like super, you know. And then the thing is, it's like, you think about the performance of this part, where does that leave Xeon?
Yeah, no kidding.
As far, you know what I mean?
Other than Xeon is intended to be used, you know, multiple processors in a system. So, I guess you still need those. Well, I mean, I guess not that you still need them. I guess they'll still sell. There will still be a market, because I imagine there will be a Xeon part that will, when you have two of them in a system, it'll crush this. I mean, there's got to be, right?
I would think.
Right?
Yeah. You would think. So that's...
this is basically, I feel like this is basically their attempt at Threadripper. I wouldn't even be surprised if this was two parts mated together.
You think?
I don't want to, but like... That's, this seems, I mean, awfully fast. This seems like an awfully fast reaction to Threadripper for Intel.
Well, I think this is going to compete with Threadripper 2, which we haven't seen anything at Computex yet for that. I think we should. But, you know, in other articles that I saw on this, like Threadripper score is like a little, like the highest Threadripper part is a little bit higher than the 7980XE in Cinebench R15. So say like 3,700. Yeah. So this still blows the highest Threadripper, current Threadripper part. But now we're going to see the next generation Threadripper hopefully announced this week or something of that nature. So this is definitely going to compete against that, whatever Threadripper 2 is.
Do you think that I can't imagine this is AMD's first time finding out about this, but you know, perhaps, do you think they like cancel their Threadripper 2 launch so that if it's like not competing?
I don't know, because I think they would known, and I think Intel just kind of like beat them to like, okay, we're our press conference is first. We got to get the
hype train going.
Yeah, so, but sick part.
Totally.
I can't imagine it might even require water cooling, which wouldn't surprise me, especially if it's running at base clock of 5 gigahertz.
Yeah. I mean, you're not even crazy to say $4,000, and if you're talking about a $4,000 processor, running water cooling isn't a stretch by any means.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah. So let's move from CPUs to GPUs. Okay. And there was no GeForce announcement at
NVIDIA's the opposite, really.
Yeah, at their NVIDIA's invite only press event. When asked about when there would be a Volta based GeForce card, NVIDIA CEO said that that Pascal cards are great and they're the best that you can get right now. And then somebody else asked him again and he said, "Don't worry, I'll invite you." And then he said, "It will be a long time from now," pointing to that it will be a long time before we see another. Or, well, see, this is specific based to Volta because we'll talk about another story here in a second. That we won't see a Volta-based GeForce launch a long time from now. That's from the NVIDIA CEO. Yeah. But on another story that's coming out from our good friend Anthony at TweakTown, he said he's on the show floor at Computex, and he has said that he's talked to tons of people in the industry, and they're all saying July 30th, GeForce GTX 1180 launch. That kind of makes sense, I think, for a lot of reasons. One, Anthony usually gets pretty good information. And two is that we do have these 4K 144Hz gaming displays coming out. They're all getting announced at Computex, and they'll be coming out late Q3, Q4. And even a 1080 Ti is not necessarily going to power that at your high settings. Not you know really. What I mean?
And that includes NVIDIA's new TVs as well.
Yeah, so you have all this stuff coming out. So, you know, he talked to multiple people, and they all said July 30th is the date. You know, so what about the NVIDIA CEO? Well, one, you could say his comments were about Volta, so this might not be a Volta-based card. You know, as we've talked about, Volta was only supposed to be for enterprise and you know. That type of stuff. The architecture wasn't made for consumer. Also, if you know the NVIDIA CEO and he likes to joke around a lot, and he likes to just, you know,
just flat out lie.
not lie, but like just keep people guessing. Yeah. So, you know, he's just going to say that. He's just going to say it, you know, just because. So, this is a little more exciting than the, than a long time from now, obviously.
Yeah. But give me some hope.
Yeah, and anything that we see or hear about concerning this, we'll definitely let you guys know. But I hope Anthony's right on this, and hopefully we get an announcement July 30th. That'd be cool.
Yep.
So, yes. Going to motherboards, not a whole lot of new motherboards. Well, we saw some, but the one that really caught our eye at Computex is the MSI MEG X399 Creation. So this is made for Threadripper 2. So you'll see a lot of new X399 boards at Computex that are specifically made for Threadripper 2. And this one has a pretty cool design. It's something different from MSI. This Creation series, I don't know what that's about. It's a new one. But it's new. It's new from MSI. I kind of like the design. Huge. Yeah, it's big. I think Creation is for like, I'm thinking for like high end photographers and video editors. You know, this has crazy looking heat sinks, one that covers the entire chipset and has room for an M.2. I don't know if there's two M.2s. I know there's one by the PCI Express slots. I don't know if there's a vertical one above.
It's hard to or say. Not. Just trying to guess based on where screws are placed on that. I mean, it does have the screw right at the top and then the two smaller ones, so it can be easily removed, but it is still tough to say.
Not sure there. It has an 18-phase power design, two 8-pin EPS connectors for Threadripper 2, a lot of power going in there, four PCI Express 3.0 X16 slots, which you can fully populate with Threadripper, power and reset buttons on the board. You have two USB 3.0 headers there. You have a USB 3.1 internal header. Just a beast of a board.
Hacking stuff in it. Especially for such a large board, it has a lot going on. when we used to see boards, this has got to be EATX, almost for yeah. sure. The older EATX boards, I mean, they're big boards and they had a lot, you know, a lot of stuff on there. But this is just jam packed with components.
Yeah, it has Wi-Fi too. It has 802.11ac yeah. Wi-Fi plus Bluetooth on there. All the standard stuff. Yeah,
is it 10 gigabit? I'm assuming.
Ethernet? Yeah. I don't know.
It's almost gotta be, right?
Well, it says dual Intel LAN with Intel Wi-Fi, so I don't think.
I kind of thought that was going to become standard, but maybe not standard for X399.
I don't think it's become standard yet. It's a very expensive part.
I know. I just thought it was going to be. I thought Computex was going to be the kind of the launch of a bunch of boards with 10 gigabit.
I think you'll see it in the high-end desktop boards. Some of them, not this one, obviously, yeah. but I think other ones that you'll see throughout the show will have it. Right. But still a cool board. I like new series of boards, right? So this is
honestly,
cool.
Honestly, it doesn't just bank on it being lit up with RGB. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, yeah. We're seeing different design. Very radical heat sink design there.
Almost as like crystal looking. In a way,
yeah, kind of
the way that like kind of shoots out. It just looks like there's like like stuff growing out of the board almost, right? Like crystal rocks growing out of the board.
Yeah, it's very cool. So stay tuned for that. No word yet on pricing. It's going to be expensive. Oh, it's like it's a high end desktop board, so.
But it'll still be reasonable.
$300 to $500 range.
I think it'll still be reasonable because it's AMD. So.
Yeah.
Usually you still get a little discount.
So moving over to cases, not a whole lot yet. It is day one, but Antec showed a new case that looks nothing like an Antec case.
It looks like a case mod.
It is their Project X case, which is a super kind of futuristic design, tempered glass with aluminum panels and then an internal steel chassis. It's at an angle, which makes it look cool, but I do have to say this looks a lot like the Cougar Conquer case, which has been out for a while. Looks a lot like it. If I linked it in the thing, you can see what the Cougar case looks like.
I remember we talked about this, I think, on the podcast.
Yeah. So I like what Antec's doing. I mentioned it in this article that Antec has been kind of behind the times when it comes to case design. Mm-hmm. This case is different than the Cougar Conquer. It's not strictly copied, but it looks very much
the
same.
It's the forward tilt is what does it. To me, it looks a lot like some of the, like, I believe it was a Ducati case mod that we saw. Like, it looks kind of like a sport bike.
Yeah, and the Ducati mod was done on the Cougar case.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. So I like it. It's exciting to see an older iconic brand put out something that's worth looking at for once.
We just do it original.
Yeah, so it is different, but it's
Beat them, copy them. I don't know.
Yeah, no word on pricing or availability. It should be pretty expensive, I'm thinking. Yeah. But still cool for Antec.
They kind of make the news anytime they do anything different because everyone's so surprised in a way,
Yes. Yeah. So we'll move from cases. It's only cases. We're going to be a lot of cases this week. So, definitely check back because we'll have a lot of stuff. And we'll have a ton of stuff to talk about next week, but, moving from cases to phones phones is not something you typically see announced or really shown at Computex as far as
very
what
strange,
we cover,
actually.
but Asus launched a their ROG phone. It is gaming specific phone. And I have to say I'm a fan. I probably wouldn't get
because
I don't play mobile games.
I'm right on board with
But this phone, just talking about specs, it's a 6-inch phone, 2160 by 1080 AMOLED display, 90 hertz refresh rate, 1ms response time, HDR built in there. It's a highest bend 2.96 gigahertz octa-core Qualcomm Snapdragon 845 mobile platform with Qualcomm's Adreno 630 GPU in
that
there.
Is an 8
gigabytes of RAM
part, by the way, too. That part is normally like 2.8, so.
Yeah, so it's their highest bin parts in there. 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Which is quite a bit, too.
It looks good. And it comes with these really cool... you get a clip-on controller. Accessory. Much like... So it comes with a clip-on controller, which is like kind of like Nintendo Switch. You have like two sides that go on it, use as a controller. It also comes with a Wi-Fi dock, which is a docking unit that allows you to connect it, charge it, connect it to a higher display. It has USB ports on it, so you can connect a real keyboard and mouse. You can even stream a game from your PC, apparently, to the phone using that dock somehow. A lot of cool stuff there. It has two charging ports. One on the bottom and then one on the side of the phone. And the whole reason behind that is to not get in the way of gaming because that cable on the bottom would actually get in the way. And they're using this technology which they're calling ASUS HyperCharge, which actually moves the charging chip to the power adapter so that the heat generated by the phone is actually reduced and it charges faster that way.
Yeah, I think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, because it becomes proprietary at that point.
Good luck with
the
your
phone. The phone uses what they're calling a GameCool cooling design. It's a 3D vapor chamber cooling, which uses a carbon cooling pad, copper heat spreader, and a 3D vapor chamber design. Of course, with all that hardware in there, you got to keep this thing cool. Yep. And ASUS says this cooling technology is 16 times better than heat dissipation over standard smartphone cooling. This thing has RGB LEDs on it. On the back, you have a ROG logo, and you can control that using an app on the phone, or you can use Aura Sync software to do that as well.
And you can, importantly, you can turn it off.
Yeah, you can turn it off. There's a clip that goes onto the phone as well that actually provides more cooling as like a heat sink.
It's a fan, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fan. It's just crazy. No word on pricing. It's going to be expensive. I assume it's going to be more than the Razer phone.
Yeah. The screen alone on it is super expensive.
Yeah. From the videos that I saw, it looks sick.
I feel like it's doing too much, personally. It's too many features. And I think that it's going to be very error prone. I think it's going to have issues, I guess is my prediction. It's a sick phone by the specs. I think that especially for a company that this is their first phone.
This is not ASUS's first phone. No, they're very popular, especially in foreign markets with their Zen phone.
Oh.
Zen phone's really, really good product.
Okay.
It's the first ROG phone.
Okay. Well, I still feel like they're jamming too much stuff into it.
Yeah, their Zen phones are actually really good. I don't think they're sold in the United States, but they're a really good product.
I know I read it has the same camera as the Zen phone, and I was thinking that was a Sony phone. Isn't?
No.
What's Sony's phones?
I have no clue. ASUS, yeah. Yeah, the Xperia, that's what it is, yeah. So, no, Zenfone is ASUS, but, so they obviously have had experience in the smartphone market, and they're very, ASUS Zenfones are very popular overseas. While this is really well done, they do have experience in this, so I don't think, I think it's going to be a good phone. I agree with you, I think there's too much in this, and...
The charger is a whole lot. That's game over for me too. Like,
yeah,
I rarely use the actual charger for my phone. I'm plugged into all kinds of docks and stuff all throughout.
See, now I assume that makes it proprietary. I'm not sure.
Unless that's simply for like fast charge or whatever. Everybody has a name for the fast charge system, right?
Yeah.
Unless that's the only, you can still charge it, but. You know, you lose that ability, which still kind of sucks, but it had to be a space. I gotta imagine it was a space issue as much as it was a heat issue. Just because of how much stuff they're trying to put inside this thing.
Yeah. So I think it's cool. I would love to play with one. I think it would be something cool to have on a plane and play games, sure. Right? But I would never buy one.
I would never want it as my main phone.
One, I'm an iPhone person. Two, I don't play a lot of mobile games, and the only time I would be like on a plane, yeah. You know? But if you're a huge mobile gamer, you know, you're playing Fortnite mobile, PUBG mobile, like as a religion, which a lot of people yep. do, this could be a phone for you. You know what I mean? I think the Razer phone did decent as far as sales. So there is a market, and Asus, Republic of Gamers, is a huge brand now. So we'll see what happens with yeah. this thing. But no word on pricing. No word. They said Q3. So, you know, September. Mm-hmm. So yeah, pretty cool. I'm a fan. And then we'll talk about Asus again. Asus had so many announcements, but we're talking about the ones that the phone was really cool. And something else that was really cool was their brand new liquid CPU cooler. So Asus is entering the liquid CPU cooling market with two lines. They're Ryogen and Ryu. And the Ryogen is the high-end version that will be available in 360mm and 240mm versions. And the pump block looks awesome. It is sort of like a square pump block. It has the ROG logo, which is said to be an OLED screen mm-hmm. on there, which you can customize with your logo, your whatever, animated things on there. And then there's some, it looks like there are RGB LEDs that run up in a diagonal fashion on there. And it takes up a decent amount of space, but again, it's still less space than like an air cooler, so you should be good on clearance. I think it looks good. I don't know what you're the AIO guy. What do you think?
I'm curious. I think it looks to be in like their Asetek unit, so performance is probably going to be very similar to things that we've seen.
Yeah, I believe these are Asetek. Yeah,
it's going to be very similar to NZXT coolers. I mean, it's essentially what they look like. I think that the what was the other lines? The lower lines. The
Ryu.
With the large block that has fans built into it. The idea being that the components on the board don't get airflow on them. Well, that's true. It's not really an issue. And it's not necessarily true because you still have case fans. So
yeah.
I don't think that that's... They mentioned M.2 cooling and RAM cooling. I just don't think that that's an issue. So I think that they're creating a product to fix a problem that doesn't exist, maybe. But at the very least, it looks cool, if not really bulky. And maybe a huge pain to install.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll try to get one of these in for you and see how
it does. The renders look like they make the tubing sleeving look really cool. The renders look like really cool, and then you kind of see them and it's like, oh, that's just regular Asetek sleeving on a regular Asetek radiator. So like, I'm like, as much as I think it's cool, I feel like it's something that we've already seen, other than the LED screen on the top of the high end line.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's what does it for me for that second line. But again, when it comes to these products, it's all about performance. You know,
it's a cooling device.
Ease of installation too is a big deal for me.
Which the Asetek coolers, I mean, you can clearly see it is standard Asetek installation hardware. It's fine. In fact, actually, this looks like older Asetek. Yeah.
The second one specifically.
It looks like older hardware, because it doesn't clamp over anymore. Where like in the past, and what this looks like, it would like notch into the pump block and then kind of pin it down, but it wasn't, the bracket wasn't actually attached. This looks like it's gone back to that maybe.
So, yeah,
we'll see. Hopefully,
we'll see how these. We're gonna try to get one of these into review. Tell you guys more about it. Also, a new company entering a new market is Gigabyte. We'll be making DDR4. And they're going to be doing it with their Auris line. So they've announced their Auris RGB memory. And I think these kits look good.
They look great.
I don't think they look horrible. They have sort of like a silver gray
gunmetal.
Gunmetal. Yeah, that's the word. Gunmetal heat spreader with an RGB light bar at the top. They'll be selling just a single kit to start, which is a 16-gigabyte kit. So that's 2 8-gigabyte modules running at 3200 megahertz with timings of 16, 18, 18, 38 at 1.35 volts. The RGB lighting will be done with the RGB Fusion software, which is really good. And of course, if you're running an Auris board and graphics card, you can match everything. But one thing that's interesting about this kit is while it's 2 8-gig modules, you'll get two more modules in the package. And they're dummy modules, which means there's no memory on the sticks, but they'll give you the RGB lighting fully across. So, you know, the whole idea is you don't need to fully populate. You don't need, you know, you don't need 32 gigabytes of memory because you'd never really use that anyways. So,
I think this is especially useful for high-end desktop builds, like mods especially, because you're not building that up for performance, but you do want to populate all 8 of those slots.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So the dummy modules will just go in there, and of course everything will sync together with the software. So I think it's pretty cool. It will save you some money, you know, if you're not going to be going for that full, you don't need all that performance.
What would you even? You'd have to be doing like some CAD stuff almost to really require the topest end.
Yeah,
top highest.
Or if you're if you have like 150 windows open, tabs open, you know, you're one of those people.
Like, if you're like Bob here,
but yeah, I think I have 4 open right now, so we're good. these will be coming out the end of June. The 16-gigabyte kit, which we mentioned, will be $229, so not too terribly expensive.
Quick question, opinion, I guess. How do you feel about the fact that there is an Auris logo on this thing? Which kind of pigeonholes them into being used on an Auris board, or do you not think?
It depends on how you look at it. If you're looking at your case from the side, you're not really going to see the logo. There's no logo on the top, right? So I don't know. I think that this is definitely aimed at Auris users. Auris boards are the most RGB'd out boards that there are. So I think if you're an Auris user, you want Auris memory, right?
Sure. Yep.
I think it's the fact that you're going to get a fully populated, even more RGBs in your system for a lower cost.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me. I like the Auris logo. I'm a fan of it. I think it's cool. But again, these would look kind of weird in an Asus ROG board, right?
That's my thought.
So that's something you have to think about, I guess. But I think it's cool. I think we're going to see some other companies jump into memory at Computex as well, so. Yeah, cool stuff there. Talking about memory, G-Skill, who makes the Trident Z RGB memory, probably the coolest RGB memory, one of the first really companies to really show off RGBs on DDR4. They're showing off their new Trident Z Royal RGB memory, which looks the same as the Trident Z as far as like the style
of
The shape of the heat spreader, but the heat spreader is mirrored in chrome. Yeah. It just looks sick.
They look insane.
Yeah, these look awesome. And then the RGB light bar is designed to look like it's like crystallized. Like it looks like a crystal.
Yeah, and not only does it look like that, but it diffuses the light in that way.
Yeah. And we have a video on our page. You can check it out. These look awesome.
It's probably,
yeah.
I guess, maybe if you don't like the look, they don't look great to you. But I want to say that it's the best looking RGB LED kit out.
Yeah,
they're intense.
I think that, again, G-Skill really set the bar with the Trident Z RGB, and this is going to set the bar again. We're going to see copycats, I can imagine. And they already have their software great, and the software works awesome. These kits have always been great performance wise, and this just looks awesome. Only thing that's gonna suck is, I mean, you gotta wipe these things off as soon as you put them in, because you're gonna get fingerprints all over the.
They might ship with a pair of gloves to install them.
Yeah, but besides that, no word on pricing or availability. Hopefully soon. These look sick. Yeah, I'll take my money. G-Skill can take all my money. So yeah, so almost done here. Lian Li, who we know for cases, has actually debuted at Computex, the world's first RGB power connector cable.
And I think they might have just one-upped G-Skill, because this is sick, too.
They actually showed off G-Skill, with G-Skill's, with G-Skill's Trident Z RGB memory. Yeah. So yeah, it is the Lian Li streamer cable. It is an extension cable for a 24-pin, and it gives you RGB lighting throughout the cable. It looks good. Looks awesome.
Is it just over top of the regular power cables, or is those aren't actually carrying power, are they?
No, okay. I don't believe so. I believe they're over the top of the.
It looks so just like
individually.
It,
yeah, it's an individually. What do you call that? Individually sleeved 24-pin cable that has RGB LED kind of light rings going on top of each individually sleeved bit. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So the effect is just that you have a RGB 24-pin.
Yeah.
It's like one spot where we didn't think to put them, and now they have.
Yeah, now they have. And I'm sure we're going to see more of these type of things, but Lian Li's the first one to do it. Really not expected from Lian Li at all, honestly.
They've made a lot of moves in the more modern positive direction.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it looks good to me from the pictures and everything.
Cost will be a big factor.
No word on pricing. Yeah, cost will be a big factor. No word yet on pricing, as a lot of things coming out of Computex, we don't know pricing yet, but looks good. Definitely a cool thing to add to your build for sure. And our last piece of news, which we said we would talk about, is that Corsair announced a lot of new products to go with their IQ software. One, of course, being the 280X RGB case, but they also announced Vengeance Pro DDR4 memory and a new Obsidian 500 case. So the Obsidian 500E RGB SE. The big thing with that one is that it does ship with the new LL fans. So you get... three LL120 RGB fans in there, and again, it's all controlled by the IQ software. The memory looks awesome. So it's their Vengeance RGB Pro, a little bit different design from the original Vengeance RGB, and I believe these have you can individually address each RGB section on the memory. So yeah. A lot of cool stuff. And again, IQ is really good. If you guys have a chance to use it, you can do a lot. It's basically made for individually addressable LED products. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a lot you can.
And it brings and it still brings all of your hardware into the same spot now. No more launching two programs for Corsair, which is key because. Yes. I mean, they're fighting NZXT with Cam in this space, and Cam, I mean, was miles ahead up until IQ, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, so I haven't had a whole chance to really mess with IQ as far as other features besides lighting, but I will be in the future, so I'll be able to tell you guys all about this, but really cool stuff. The new memory looks great. I love the LL fans and the fact that Corsair is now putting them in cases that you can, you know, buy as a one full unit, which will save probably like $15 to $20 over doing it yourself. You know, we talked about with the 280X RGB. So good stuff. And of course, if you have all of Corsair's hardware, you can match everything all together and have the RGB LEDs doing all of the same thing. So really cool stuff there.
Definitely.
But yeah, guys, for Computex, we have a link at the top of the page that has all of our Computex news. So If you want to check out all the news coming out of Computex, you can go ahead and do that. Still a ton of news. Today was only the first day, and there's going to be so much coming out. I think we're going to average like 10 articles a day or something like that. So a lot of stuff, a lot of cool stuff there. So coming up, what we have coming up next week as far as reviews, I'll be taking a look at the ADATA XPG SX 8200. That is their M.2, one of their fastest M.2 SSDs. It comes with a cool heat spreader. It's supposed to be one of their better drives. So I'm excited to take a look at that. Since it is an XPG product, it's back with a 5-year warranty too. So, you know, you really don't have to worry about much with this drive. It's a really good drive. 3,200 megabytes a second read, 1,700 megabytes a second write. You know, really good drive there. And then I'll finally be taking a look at Cooler Master's Masterbox Q300L and Q300P. I had an issue with the 300P, so they had to send me a new one. So I will have that for you guys. And then I'll be taking a look at a pretty cool product, which is the BenQ screen bar. And I actually have it sitting in front of me. I've been using it for a couple weeks now. And it's basically a light that attaches to the top of your monitor that allows you to light up kind of your, you know, your computing area. And I kind of thought it was dumb, honestly, when I first saw it. But it actually does a really great job, especially if you're somebody who I'm not a big fan of sitting in the dark in front of my computer, especially when I have like a notepad beside me writing notes and doing things. This is really cool. It's really well designed. It doesn't give you any screen glare. It's a cool little light. So we'll have that for you guys as well. So a lot of cool stuff coming next week. And then I don't know, did you I know you saw Star Wars.
Yeah.
How was that? You saw Star Wars? Tell us about it.
What can I tell you?
Well, yeah, don't ruin it because I haven't seen it yet. But I mean, as far as compared to other Star Wars movies, what did you think?
I thought it was good. I forgot where I said I would rank it. Probably all time is hard. Of the new ones, it's probably top 2, 3. I don't know. It's hard to rank it. It's a good movie. Yeah. The fact that it's done really poor in the box office is not really any relation to the quality of it. I think, in fact, it's got a good Rotten Tomatoes score, I believe.
Okay.
Like, because it's not sold much at all, which I think you can just chalk that up to Star Wars fatigue. I mean,
I think that, and I honestly think time of year. Like, yeah. Star Wars has always been like a holiday release, right?
Yeah. Well, sort of. Not originally. It kind of became in modern times. It's a yes. But I mean, it's going up against Deadpool and Avengers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a bigger franchise than any of those, but we just had one, you know, I think it's just too many. Disney's just kind of saturated the market with them at this point, so.
Yeah, I think they have. But that didn't take away from the movie.
No. They still spent a lot of money to make the movie. A lot more than they had to. They had to reshoot like 70% of this movie because they fired the directors quite a ways through it because they were not producing the movie that they wanted. They were turning it into way more of a comedy than anything. They went a little overboard with it. It's intended to be more lighthearted, and it is. But it's a good movie. It's way worth watching. Donald Glover is great in it. Love seeing Donald Glover. He's a funny guy. The Lawrence Kasdan. Is that Lawrence Kasdan? I believe that's the guy that's playing Solo. yeah, Lawrence Kasdan. No, he wrote it. What is the guy's name? Alden. Blanking out on his name, but he did a good. Yeah, Alden Ehrenreich. He did a good job. It's a hard role to fill, you know, because Harrison Ford has owned that forever. But I think.
Yeah, that's what I think. Cause I haven't seen it yet, and it will be interesting to see how I feel about somebody else playing Solo, right?
Yeah, it's just a different Solo, so it's okay. He does a good job, I think. And then Emilia Clarke is great, obviously. Because she is nice. Game of Thrones, so she's a good job. Interesting character. It's a great movie. Yeah, all around. Well worth watching.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I haven't really done anything. I've been gearing up for Computex. That's about it, man.
Somebody's got to write the news.
I worked on that. I know, and I worked on that 280X case review, which was actually a lot of fun. Nice. It's good to see something come together and have a night. You know, you have your nice build sitting there, and it's sitting over here, and it, you know, the RGB LEDs are on. It looks awesome. Yes. So, yes. So, that is it for this week, guys. I know this one was a little bit longer than our normal ones, but next week's probably going to be just as long, just for the fact that we have so much news coming out of Computex, and we want to give you all of the good bits. As I said, we do have that link at the top of the page that has all of our Computex coverage, so you can check out all of that. And if you're looking to subscribe on all of your favorite podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. And we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So if you're looking for more information on one of our reviews or some of the news we covered, you can click through and get even more information. So until next week, catch you guys later.